The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Ireland, once famed as the land of a thousand welcomes, has become almost overnight a cold house for Jews. That was in a comment piece in the Wall Street Journal about how anti-Semitism here is spiralling, according to the author. How damaging is that type of rhetoric for our country? Larry Donnelly is here, law lecturer from the University of Galway. Larry, you're very welcome. This is a sensitive topic, isn't it, to address? But you want to talk to us about the impact of that perception of Ireland in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, this particular piece, and again, everyone who writes has their own, you know, background and their own perspective. And this guy writes from an unabashedly right-wing perspective. But it is the latest in a series of what I can only call hit pieces on Ireland to appear in the Wall Street Journal and in other publications. And, you know, it's worrying because in all my years studying the U.S.-Irish relationship, I cannot remember anything resembling such a sustained attack on Ireland and this notion that we are anti-Semitic. And I think perceptions are being formed as a result of that. I know people here will attack the messengers, but that perception is growing in certain powerful quarters in the United States. And I say that not least because of our economic model and the level of dependency upon U.S. multinationals.
Okay, well, there's a warning in there in what you're saying. Explain to us what is being said and what the implications of that could be.
Well, inferences are being drawn from certain things that have happened. You know, for instance, the attempted renaming of Herzog Park, the fact that some individuals, including some elected officials, celebrated in the wake of the events of October 7th. Other things that have happened that are cementing this sort of perception out there that there's a lot of anti-Semitism in Ireland. The breakdown of diplomatic relations between Ireland and Israel is another one that, you know, has garnered some attention in the United States. And, you know, make no mistake, Ireland has a great relationship with the United States. I don't see that being drastically harmed. But don't forget, Israel has a lot of powerful allies in the United States. And again, to some extent, we have something of a target on our back because of this in some powerful quarters. And so when it comes to things, for instance, like the pending Occupied Territories Bill, this is sharpening ears in the United States. And I do worry about what that might mean. And I also should say there's a moral dimension to this, because when we talk about anti-Semitism in Ireland, one of the things we haven't done a good enough job of, in my view, is listening to the lived experiences of the very small Jewish community in this country. I've heard all of us here on this program and others, and you can actually hear the pain in his voice when he talks about how he feels in the past couple of years. So I think we need to do more to amplify these voices. If we were talking about any other community, we'd be talking about what is their lived experience. I think too often here, the debate is shut down by saying, look, we're anti-genocide. We hate we're opposed to what's happening in Gaza. We are not anti-Semitic. Case closed. And I think that if you listen to the lived experiences of people like Oliver Sears, they will tell you something different. Mm-hmm. So we have both this moral issue here at home, but we also have the perception problem in the United States.
People feel very entitled and duty-bound to voice their opposition to what's happening in Gaza. And Ireland has taken a very strong position on that. So are you saying that we are in danger of anti-Semitism and our objections to what's happening in Gaza being conflated by some in America?
Yes, that's
what's happening.
That's exactly. And that's, you know, look, the Israeli lobby, and look, I put it on the record, I abhor what's going on. I find it revolting at every level imaginable what happened in Israel's grossly disproportionate reaction to what happened on October 7th. I think Netanyahu is a war criminal who belongs in prison. That's my personal view. But at the same time, I do worry about the perception that is growing in the United States about attitudes in this country. And I
so
know.
So then do we stay quiet about what's happening in Gaza?
Well, here's the tricky thing. What do we do? Now, you know, look, I think Ireland has been a leader. I think it's led in many respects in terms of recognizing the state of Palestine and using its big platform on the world stage to advocate for attitudinal change. We see, for instance, that attitudes are shifting on this in the United States. But what I do think is unwise is to put ourselves in vulnerable positions. And what I would say to you is that passing the Occupied Territories Bill will trigger, okay, laws in the United States that could have detrimental consequences for the economy of Ireland and for the people of Ireland in turn.
What laws? What do you mean?
These are so-called anti-BDS laws that exist at federal and state level. And what they do is they make it difficult for companies who are here in the event that that company enacts a law boycotting Israel. Okay, and these could entail, for instance, very serious financial reporting requirements, in some instances, penalties. And I say this in a world where, look, the competitive market for foreign direct investment is out there. We have benefited enormously from foreign direct investment. At the same time, we know how dependent the exchequer is, including all the social programs and everything else, are on a relatively small number of multinationals. Now, I would never say there's going to be a flight. They're here for lots of good reasons. They're here for hard-headed business reasons. But if we pass the Occupied Territories Bill, we are getting into uncharted waters, because when these laws, if they do kick in, and I hope they don't, okay, but if they do kick in with vigor, then pressure could be brought to bear. And if it is, okay, that could mean the repatriation of a small number of jobs. If that happens, who is going to go out and explain to these people who are out of work, who can't pay mortgages, that we have gone down this road for what is symbolic legislation, which again, and I say this in an overarching context, in which we do, unfairly to a large extent in my view, have a target on our back in certain quarters of the United States anyway.
Are you saying that could happen if the Occupied Territories Bill is passed as it stands, and it doesn't include services we know as it stands?
The goods services distinction is immaterial. And indeed, in commentary in the newspapers on Sunday, the ambassador to Ireland, Ed Walsh, confirmed that. That distinction means nothing in U.S. law. It's meaningless. And the other problem here, and this is sad for me to say, is what a lot of people who are advocating for the Occupied Territories Bill will say is that it's entirely in compliance. Indeed, it's mandated by international law. Here is the sad fact of the situation. In the United States, international law means absolutely nothing. And you or I did not create our economic model. The fact is, our big employers, our biggest contributors to the exchequer, they are governed by United States law.
All right. Larry, we're going to leave that there. Plenty of food for thought. Let us know what you think on WhatsApp 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.